1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the ninth verse, notice with me what it says. It says, God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, amen, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we are called into fellowship. It's in the realm of the Spirit like the sound of a trumpet, saying to us, I'm calling you into the secret place. I'm calling you into fellowship with me. And there is no higher call. You know, sometimes all of us look at men of God in the past, like Billy Graham and Kenneth E. Hagin and Smith Wigglesworth, and we certainly admire their walk with God. But we do not want to just admire their walk. We want to answer our own call. The high call of fellowship is for all of us. Aren't you glad that God's no respecter of persons? Glory to God. We have been invited into a glorious, glorious visitation. You know, last week we talked about Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, where it's the picture of Jesus on the outside knocking on the door. We're on the inside. And he says, I want to come in and I want to dine with you. I want to sup with you. That word sup and dine was the evening meal in that day. It was a leisurely meal where they took time to build relationships and to build fellowship. And Jesus is saying, open the door, let me come in. I got some things to say to you. Amen. Have you ever been with a group of friends out for a meal, or maybe in a home, or maybe in a small group, where the fellowship was just so rich that you did not want it to end? You were supping together. You were dining together. Conversations that are centered around the things of God are absolutely life-changing. We have better things to talk about than the weather. There's a time for that. There's a time to talk about the Giants and the 49ers. But oh, there is a holy time where we must sup together. Amen. He's knocking at the door. Amen. Have you opened the door? Will you allow him to pull up a chair and sup with you and dine with you and let you see some things that you need to see? Amen. Let him give you the knowledge that you so desperately need about the plan and the purpose of God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. That knob is on the inside. And it is your heart. So let us open up to him with all of our life. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now last week we talked about how important it is for us to know who we are. Because when we know who we are and we know whose we are, it will enhance our desire to come into fellowship with him. Yes. You'll not want to go into fellowship with him if you feel unworthy. You'll not want to go into fellowship with him if you have a bunch of insecurities in your life. And that's why the foundation of the message was, you need to know who you are. And we discovered that we are his treasure, that we are his jewels, that we are his workmanship. Glory to God, that we are complete in him, that we're his beloved, and he is ours. Amen. And that we are not the rejected, but we are the accepted in the beloved. Amen. That we have right standing with him. And so then it's easy for us to step into koinonia. It's easy for us to step into fellowship. And I think it's very important that we do not allow the distractions of this age from keeping us out of that place. Distractions of this age entering in and they choke the word. But they not only choke the word, they choke our time with Him. We are not to be device driven. We're to be presence driven. And I just heard the organ. So fellowship is about knowing Him. The Apostle Paul, in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, he said, "For my determined purpose is that I may know Him and that I may progressively and become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly." Amen. Paul knew what his purpose was. Paul said, "I am absolutely, positively, I'm determined to know Him." Have you ever been determined to know someone in the natural? You go to great lengths sometimes to get to know a person. Well, we're talking about getting to know Him. And we need to go to great lengths and great effort on our part to get to know Him. He says, "It's my determination." Now, I want you to notice some of the words. He says, "It's progressive." This walk that we have with God was never intended to be stagnant. It was never intended to be mediocre. Yes. It was intended to be hot. Yes. On fire. Yes. In pursuit. Amen. As the deer. Yes. Panteth over. Amen. Looking for the waters. Amen. So our heart longs for Him. Can you say amen? Amen? The wonders of His person. So we see that Paul is hungering for a deeper fellowship, a deeper relationship. Did you know that He hungers for us? We may talk about how we hunger for Him, but He hungers for us. He wants your company. I'm hungering for my wife right now. She's been gone since Thursday, and the violin started. But I hunger for us to be reunited, and it feels so good. That's Peaches and Herb from the 60s. I see the Joneses back there. They know what I'm talking about. But what we say to one another when we talk on the phone is, "I miss you. I love you." And that's how God feels about you. When we're not present, but when He comes back, when we come back to Him, you may hear what somebody heard recently, "I've missed you." Hallelujah. Glory to God. That tells us how much He longs to visit with us. What a God we serve. He's our Father. It's the Father and His family. How many of you enjoy the company of your family? You know, I talked about Brenda a moment ago. I'm going to keep talking about her because she's listening. Brenda and I have a deep relationship with each other. Amen. We just enjoy one another. We met 49 years ago. In 1976. In Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. A year later, we got married. Amen. Gone to the chapel and I got to stop all that. We enjoy each other's company. We know each other. We have chemistry with each other. Like no other. But knowing one another is not one and done. Knowing one another is progressive. Over the days, the months, the years, and the decades. As husband and wife, you got to work on your relationship. We must not take each other for granted. Well, she knows I love her. Does she? Have you told her lately? Have you acted like you love her? And I think sometimes in Christianity, we all do it. We have a tendency to take our relationship with God and our fellowship with Him for granted. What do you say? Let's not do that. Amen? So in a marital relationship or even in a friendship relationship, it's a choice we make. I am going to know Him. Now look at Job chapter 22 and verse 21. Job the 22nd chapter, the verse 21 and verse 22. Let's read this one together if we will. Ready? Read. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Therefore, next verse. Receive, I pray, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in thine heart. Now I want you to notice that word acquaint. Let's go back to verse 21. One commentary, this is very interesting. One commentary of that word acquaint means become a companion with him. Amen. Become a companion with him. That takes making a decision. Say it with me. I want to know you more. So again, Paul said that I may know him in the King James Version. And he said, in knowing him, I will also know something else. What is it that we also will know and also have operating in our life when we have our priorities right in knowing him? That I may know him, Philippians 3:10, King James Version, and the power. Hallelujah. And the power of his resurrection. Knowing him and knowing his power go together. When you know him, you will not have to struggle to receive from him. Nancy Dufresne says this, that power is the outflow of the one you know. If you want to write that down, that's a nugget right there. She said that power, it is the outflow of the one you know. And I dare say, we need resurrection power. What's resurrection power for? It's for dead things. I mean, if we're honest about it, there are times where the odds are stacked up against us. And it looks like there's no way out. It looks like you may not make it. But what we need to understand this morning is this. God and you are the majority. We have evidence. I said we have evidence. If he has to, he will open up the Red Sea for you. If he has to, he'll step right into your fiery furnace. He'll show up in the lion's den. Come on, somebody. He'll come to you walking on the water. Can you say amen to that? We have evidence. that He's a faithful God. And so what we need to do is talk about that. Talk to ourselves. I'm coming out of this fiery furnace. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He still stills the storms today. I'm persuaded if He walked on the water, I can walk on top of my circumstances.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
I am fully persuaded that He's still that fourth man in the fire. Whoo, glory to God. I'm coming out of that fiery furnace. I'm coming out of that lion's den. Amen. Another song by the Supremes. I'm coming out. Somebody says, man, you are carnal. Well, so are you. But amen, how many of you coming out? Yeah. Glory to God, you're coming out! Yeah. And when you come out, you're not going to be all chewed up by some lion. You're not going to be just smoldering in smoke. You're coming out fresh as a daisy. Yeah. You're coming out in resurrection power because you know Him and the power of His resurrection. Yeah. It is attending your way. Hallelujah. Now go to John 17, if you would, please. John, the 17th chapter. Say it with me. I love the Word. And I love the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This is a great verse. This defines to us what eternal life is. John 17:3. And this is what? It's life eternal. It's Zoe. The God kind, the God quality, and the God quantity kind of life. And this is life eternal. That I might know you. The only true God. And Jesus Christ. Whom you have sent. Knowing Him is a key to life. It's a key to the abundant kind of life. And out of knowing Him, every arena of your life will be supplied. When you're walking in communion with Him, when you're walking in friendship with Him, He is the fountain that waters every area of our life. Woo, glory to God. When you come to know God, you come to know all that He is and all that He has. You get to know Him, and you will experience His blessings. We could turn this into a testimony meeting right now. Because I know what God has done in many of your lives. Who can testify this morning, praise the Lord, since you've come to know Him, you've experienced more joy. More peace. Yes. More blessing. Yes. More goodness. Yes. Than you've ever known before. Yes. Joy like a fountain. Yeah. Peace like a river. Yes. Blessed in the city. Blessed in the field. Blessed coming in. Blessed going out. The head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. The blessing of the Lord. It makes life very rich.
Yes, it does.
And He adds no sorrow with it. He took our sorrow. We don't have to feel bad about being blessed. The sorrow's gone. You don't have to be bad. You don't have to feel bad about being rich. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That even so, He was so very rich, He became so very poor that you through His poverty might have a full supply. Say with me, I have a supply. Hallelujah. So we're born to know Him. We're born to love Him. See, in the Old Testament, Adam and Eve had to wait for Him to come down to fellowship. But we don't. We've been brought up to His level. The book of Ephesians says that He hath raised us up together and made us sit together. He gave you joint seating. Whoo, glory to God. I like that, don't you? So in this house, we emphasize faith. There's a lot of aspects about faith. But did you know that I can't have any faith beyond the degree that I know Him? I can't go out and try to have faith for something that I drummed up in my soul. You can't have faith for something that you think. You can only have faith for something that you know.
That's right.
And what you know is based on what He has said. So it's so important to be able to hear from Him. The closer you are to Him, the easier it will be for you to hear from Him. The further we are away from Him, the more difficult it is for us to hear from Him. It's the truth, isn't it? I mean, you just think about it in the natural realm. If you've got somebody upstairs in the master bedroom, and I'm down there in the garage, and Brenda says, "Put the clothes in the wash," I can't hear her. Faintly. It's not that I don't want to hear her. It's just that I can't. Draw near to Him. Come close to Him, and He'll run away. Oh, brother. Now, Him again, her again. No, no. Come close to Him, and He'll come close to you. Paul said, "I know in whom I have believed." He didn't say, "I know what I believed." How many of you know it's possible to know scriptures and not know God? It's possible to know the formulas of faith and the principles of faith and not know God. Steps and formulas are okay, but they are not priority. The priority is to know Him. We must have faith in the Word. Absolutely, yes. But we also must have faith in the One who spoke these words. So we don't want to have a second-hand faith. Amen? Know Him for yourself. Thank God for others, examples who know Him. But we can know Him for yourself. Be inspired by others. But you learn about Him on a personal level. Hold your Bible up, hold your device up, and say, "I know Him through the Word. I know Him by His Spirit." So spend time in His Word. Somebody says, "Well, I wish God would speak to me."
Well...
Open the Bible. Open the book. Amen. He is speaking to us. Answer the phone. The callings are calling. Amen. Wow. God's Word is God speaking to me.
Amen.
Say that with me. God's Word,
God's Word
is God speaking to me. And the more familiar you become with the Word, and the more familiar you become in knowing Him and in communing with Him, the more sensitive your hearing will be. You'll see it in the Word because it is written. But you'll also see it by My Spirit because you've grown and you've developed and you've cultivated koinonia. And so shall your ears be clear, and your eyes shall see. For it is the spirit of seeing, and it is the spirit of knowing that I desire for my people. So much to see. So much to know. And it is not difficult. It's easy. For my yoke is easy. My burden's light. Come on, sons. Come on, daughters. Come unto me. Sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Pray se frataya to koshe manala. Praying much in the Holy Ghost is the door to the supernatural. Praying much in the Holy Ghost is the door, of course, to signs and wonders and miracles. But it is also the door for the spirit of seeing and for the spirit of knowing. For as you pray in the Spirit, you are speaking not unto men, but you are speaking unto me. And in speaking unto me, you're speaking divine secrets. But oftentimes, those secrets shall be made known, and they shall be unveiled to where you know it, and you see it, and then you can go forth and do it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I believe it with all my heart. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Twofold. Abiding in him is fellowshipping with him. Abiding in his word is also fellowshipping with him, but it's letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Abide in his word, and then abide in his presence. Recently, I was reading a book by Brother Lawrence. You might not have ever heard of him. Brother Lawrence wrote a book many, many years ago called Practicing the Presence of God. And I want to read to you a couple things what he said about this. This is awesome. Brother Lawrence called practice his presence as turning your heart to God in all you do. He says, worship even quietly in your heart throughout the day. And I say, remember this, God's not just at church. Yeah, that's right. He's at work with you. He's on BART with you. Yes. He's in the kitchen with you. Yes. He's on the treadmill with you. Yes. Someone says, well, I haven't been on the treadmill. Well, get on it. He said this. He believed that you could have an unbroken fellowship with God, not only in prayer and worship, but in everything. Washing dishes, sweeping floors, and working in the garden. And then he went on to say, there is no sweeter manner of living in the world than continuous communion with God. Only those who have experienced it can understand it. However, I don't advise you to practice it for the sole purpose of gaining consolation for your problems. Seek it, rather, because God wills it and out of love for him. Amen. That's good advice, isn't it? And it goes on to say, for him, holiness wasn't about some religious, special religious moment, but it was a turning. Everyone say, it was a turning. He said it was a turning of our heart to God continually in love. Now, how many of you believe in God with me? These next few moments are really, really important. Because distractions will come. But if we will purpose in our heart to start the day out right. Amen? Somebody says, well, you know, I've got a lot to do. You'll find that if you start the day out right in his word and communion with him, the things you have to do will be easier. And they won't have a tendency to stack up on you. So when you start your day out right, then that puts you in a preferred position. That positions you. Amen. That's a priority. That's seeking first the kingdom of God.
Amen. Yeah.
And then once you do that, practice this. Practice turning your heart toward Him all day long.
Amen.
Not turning to the mental realm. Not turning to the emotional realm. Are you here or not?
Yes.
Here's what Jesus said, and Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Hebrews 12. Well, you've got it up there. Hebrews 12. It says, looking away from all that would distract to Jesus.
Yes.
So when we're saying looking away, it means turning away. The distractions are here, but you have a free will. You can choose to be distracted and turn toward that, or you can choose to turn toward Him.
Amen.
Can we pull up Hebrews 12:3 in the Amplified, please? Praise the Lord. Hebrews 12. Read that with me. Looking away from all that would distract to Jesus. Let's stop right there. Looking away. Turning away. How do we do that? Simply by keeping our attention on Him. Nancy Dufresne said this recently. It's not about what I'm facing. It's about who I'm facing. Isn't that good? We're all going to face stuff. We're all going to face junk. As long as the enemy is the illegitimate small g, small god of this world, there will be tests. There will be trials.
Yeah.
But we don't have to have the tests and the trials take us out.
Yes, that's
or be so overwhelmed by them that we yield to them.
Yeah.
Rather, we turn.
Amen.
We turn.
Amen.
And we count it all joy.
Yes.
Woo, glory to God. We keep our eyes fixed. On the Master. Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. I mean, when you're driving down the road at the grocery store, turn your heart, turn your attention on Him.
Amen.
This phrase also comes from Nancy Dufresne. She says, living in His presence does not come by learning, it comes by turning. Turning. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Set your affection on things above. Everyone say, turning.
Turning.
What can we turn from? Well, we can turn from doubt to the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
We can turn from fear to the fearless one.
Amen.
I got this early this morning. We can turn from our insufficiency to the all-sufficient one. Woo, glory to God. The devil always will tell you, you're not enough. You can't make it. Well, I got news for you, Mr. Devil. He's more than enough. He's El Shaddai. He is the all-sufficient one. So don't yield to those excuses. A lack of self-worth. What we need is a rebirth of self-worth. Knowing who we are in Christ. Declaring what we have, who we are, and where we are in Christ Jesus. I like that. Turning from my insufficiency. Have you ever felt insufficient? You ever felt not like you're not enough? Anybody ever? You just... You know, they tried to sell that to Jesus. Is not this the carpenter's son?
Yeah.
He was more than a carpenter's son. And you're more than a warehouseman.
Amen.
You are more what this world says you are. You are who God says you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't buy it. Don't take the bait. Don't take the lie.
Take it.
You are His. He is yours. You are more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. You are a world overchanger, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because you are in Christ Jesus, you can do anything and everything that God has called you to do and said you can do. Amen?
Amen.
In Christ, you're healed. In Christ, you're rich. In Christ, you're accepted. In Christ, you're debt-free. Woo, glory to God. Because you are in Christ, you can have anything the Father says is yours. So don't talk about what you don't have and can't do. Just say, thank God I'm in Christ. If you don't know anything else, just say, I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. The life which I'm now living, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. In Christ, you can do that job.
Amen.
Somebody says, well, I don't have the education. I'm not qualified. He qualified you. Somebody says, well, I need to get approved. He pre-approved you. Woo, glory to God. Say with me, I've been pre-approved. I've been pre-qualified. I'm qualified by the blood of Jesus. Well, we got married. We didn't intend to have a baby so quick, but we have a baby on the way. I don't know if I can be a good father. Yes, you can. I said, yes, you can. And yes, you will. Everyone smile real big. So I'm turning now from lack to His supply. I'm turning from my natural weakness to His strength. How many of you ever just woke up early in the morning and you didn't want to wake up? You wanted a couple extra hours of sleep. But you had a big day ahead of you. And there the devil says, you're not going to be able to make it. You're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to do that. No, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And then add this one. Say with me, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So He meets us when we turn to Him. He meets us when we turn to Him. Psalms 91. Verse 1 and verse 7 through 8, in closing, I think. We're going to work on this series. How many of you believe in God with me?
Amen.
I believe this has ability to change each and every one of our lives.
Yes.
In verse 1, abiding in Him, it says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall go crazy. Well, you're just a Jesus nut. How come you're worshiping God all the time? You don't have to answer that. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable in an unstable world. Why? Because you're fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. And I love this. Whose power no foe can withstand. Verse 7 and 8 says, a thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you.
Amen.
Say with me, it shall not
come near me.
Next verse. Only a spectator shall you be. Yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High. I looked up the word inaccessible this morning. It literally means protected from harm or the enemy, out of reach because of God's covering. Taking your place in His presence makes you inaccessible. No access. Already occupied. The shield of God's presence creates a spiritual no-go zone where the enemy His plans cannot penetrate. Now, we're not isolated from trouble, but we're insulated from it, but for destroying us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What is it like? It's like being in a fortress tower, looking out a window. You can look out, you can see the battle, but you're above it.
Yes.
Say to me, I'm above it. And I am untouchable. You're untouchable because you're in God's hand. Your Father is greater than everything. And there's nothing that will ever pluck you out of His hand. Oh, I like it. You're untouchable because you've got a covenant with God that says, I'm protecting you. You're untouchable in your soul and your mind by the peace of God.
Amen.
And that's kind of how this service went that direction this morning. We're talking about peace.
Yes.
The peace of God that passes all understanding. So garrison around your heart
Amen.
And your mind in and through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, we made some progress this morning. Let's all stand up and thank God. Let's all thank God that we're progressing. Amen. That we're moving up higher. We're moving on up. We're moving on into higher ground. Greater presence. Greater faith. Ooh, glory to God. Just pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment. Glory to God. Go ahead. That's one way to practice the presence of God is just praying in the Holy Spirit. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Master. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Whoo, my. My, 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 my. My, 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 my. My, 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 my. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the joy of knowing Him. Oh, the pleasure. In His presence, the Bible says, there's a fullness that happens in our life. There's fullness of joy. There's fullness of strength. There's fullness of resurrection power in His presence. Hallelujah. So what's the take home? The take home is this. Practice it all week long. And if you get distracted and you miss it, this is not a works program. This is not something you just have to get nervous about and strive. Just chill, man. Chill in the presence of the Lord. Let His love and let His presence saturate you.